And I said, Pete, stupid is a bad word. He went, oh, I'm sorry. He said, you're right. You're right. I should have chosen a better word.
Oh, Pete's so
And
nice. He's
he
nice.
says, Garrett said, you can't say the S word and you can't say the E word. And I went, E word?
E word. Oh.
What is, and I'm, racking my brain trying to figure out the E word.
Yeah.
And Shelly, his mom, looks at Garrett and said, Garrett, tell Miss Joni what the E word is. He's no. She said, just this one time you can say it. He's no. And she said, Garrett, I'm giving you permission. This one time you can tell Miss Joni what the E word is. And he looked at me, he goes, idiot.
Oh, stop it right now.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
It's not good morning for everybody. It's good morning for us.
It is a good
Hey,
morning for
folks.
us.
How you doing?
Hey, peeps.
Welcome to episode 94.
Yeah.
I
Episode
said that with a
94.
question mark at the end, and I was glad that you said, yeah.
Yeah, you did great. You
Oh,
did
I
so
didn't
good.
think
We're so
in
smart. Hey,
there.
speaking of now, before we even, I meant to talk about this before we even got going, but now since we're going, we'll just talk about it. But
Okay.
I'm thinking if we take off next week. We're gonna have a little break maybe next week and not do the
Yes.
podcast. Is that okay with the world?
That is so we got a lot going on. We're moving boys to Chattanooga. It's
Right.
4th of July weekend, and so it's a lot.
I
So
think what is that okay with you, Jones, if we just
that is fine with me. And
okay.
hey, everybody, instead of listening to us, y'all go outside and play for the 4th of
Home.
July.
That's right. Go take that hour that you would have spent on our foolishness and go read the word of the Lord.
Right.
Do
That's right.
something productive with your
That's
life.
right.
No, I hate to miss and we can do on the road. I'm pretty really flexible, but next week I'm going to be driving on Monday, moving stuff, doing with HUD on Tuesday, Wednesday. So there's just I just decided that the pressure of doing all that and trying to and we've got a million logistics going on because Tim is arranging all the travel plans, Thatch is coming in, picking him up from Nashville. I don't know what's going on. I just
Yeah.
know
It's a lot. It's a
it's a
lot.
lot and
Anyway.
it's all great. So we'll just take a little break next week and we'll catch up with you all the week after.
So I got a text message, and I know that you were in on this little text message from one Mary Margaret Neal.
That's right. M squared, she's alive.
She is alive, and let me just pull this up because it was not nice to me. She was ugly to me.
I'm sorry. I
She
know.
says, she sends a little meme that says, I talk a lot of smack for someone who has to tiptoe in the 5 foot end of the pool, or else I'll drown.
Yeah,
I know
she did
that's the
say
truth,
that.
but I ain't gonna drown. I ain't gonna
No.
drown. And I brought up that I was trained by John Adrego
That's right.
and Tracy Hellman.
Right, Frody and they like to kill us almost. They almost
So
killed us. Chris Willis almost drowned me for sure. So anyway,
here's
carry
the
on.
story. We're at camp, and we have to go through lifeguard training. And we never had to do this before until one day, I maybe it was a camping association thing that everybody had to be lifeguard
I just think it's
trained.
when stuff, yeah, started to get like more official before it
Yeah.
was like, I don't know what they did
Right.
before,
Yeah.
but
We just showed up at the
they probably
pool
did
and
a program. Well, Jonna probably ran the did a little in-house training, but this was more like
So
official.
before Jonna was there,
Yeah.
though,
Oh, I don't know.
we just showed
Just
up at
stand
the
by the pool
pool.
and watch people.
Anyway, so Jonna was a certified lifeguard and certified to train and whatever. So Jonna comes to camp. She'd been a counselor for years, and she puts us through lifeguard training. Now, you and I, knew that Jonna was going to kill us, but we also knew that she was going to laugh at us.
We were going to have a good time.
She was, you know, we would somehow make it through. And, but we had to have partners where, you know, we had to rescue people and they had to rescue us. And, you know, and you were paired up with people. Well, the work crew guys were there too. So this is where you're talking about Chris Willis almost killed you.
Literally. I think I had to like tap out. I'm like, anyway, whatever. I made it though. Y'all, I'm alive. He sank to the bottom like a rock. That boy sank to the bottom of the pool. I'm like, dude. Sorry, I'm interrupting your story.
I want you to tell this.
But this was in the dive tank. This wasn't in just the pool. Like, this was in 15 feet of water. Like,
yeah.
We were down there. Anyway, carry on.
And you're supposed to fight your person.
Right. You're supposed to grab them by the neck because you're supposed to practice. Like, because when people panic when they're drowning, they grab onto you and they grab you around your neck and you got to get out.
Yeah. Oh, I was glad Willis was not my partner on that. Thank
you. I appreciate that. Whatever.
But here's what I want to tell. So the year Jonna left camp, we had no idea who was coming to be, you know, over all the water stuff.
The aquatic director. Wait,
yes. Yes. So we're sitting there and we're used to Jonna, who was just, you know, she was pretty light on us.
And she had been my counselor when I was a CIT and she was known, just camp fun. Like she would get right in there with you as counselors and get into all the, you know, fun and the pranks and the laughing. And I mean, just, she was hilarious. So exactly. So, we knew. Right.
And we didn't know who was going to come.
Right.
We just knew it was a new person. And I mean, let's be honest, when you're at camp, sometimes, I mean, we had a lot of, you know, Ole Miss counselors with, you know, bows in their hair and they wore their makeup. And then we were just kind of soft a bit. And, you know, and then you had some really athletic, you know, outdoorsy girls. So you just didn't know.
A real variety. It was awesome.
It was great.
It was such a good mix. Somehow it worked, y'all.
So we're sitting there and all the counselors are there and we're like looking around going, who's doing our lifeguard training here?
Right, because we're there like a week or two. I want to say this was we were there 2 weeks early because we had this special training and then we had like regular counselor, like program training, whatever. Right. We were there.
But I'll never forget, we were sitting in the lodge and we're all in a circle in the wooden chairs in the, you know, big wooden lodge screened, you know, in. And all of a sudden, it was pretty quiet and the door opens like, and in walks this buff girl. Fit. Solid.
Now we're fit. Muscle. We were fitter back then, but she was fit.
She was fit.
And so Jonna was fit.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Anyway, but she was fit.
Short, curly blonde hair. And she,
like,
you know,
a pixie kind of cut, not like, you know, but like she meant
business.
And Joni,
she walks in and she stands there, puts her hands on her hips. And it's not a nice little Ole Miss voice here. It is I'm Tracy Kimmel. I'm Tracy, and I am the aquatic director.
New aquatic director.
And we went, holy cow.
We're going to die.
You turned and looked at me and said, we're going to die.
We might die. we might be dead. But, you know, we're just going to go with that. Who again, as things happen at camp, sometimes people are weird and they're just weird. And let's just be honest. There's some camp legends that because they're just super weird, not Tracy. She was fantastic. So she was on, she listens to us. So, hey, Tracy and her lovely daughter. And anyway, but it turned out, so we got to really know her and we were on work crew together and she's crazy. She would chase me around with a wire hanger up in the top of the lodge yelling, Lizzie Borden. So I don't even know. Needless to say.
We gave her a nickname of Frody and it stuck. And so when we grew to love and adore.
Yeah, so it all Frody worked out great. And we all, but it, yeah, that was the summer of really super serious. And was that the summer or was it with Jana that it was freezing? It was very cold. It was a very cold May. Do you remember that?
I think that was with Jana.
I think it was too. But that was the first time we went to the other pool, though. We did go to the YMCA in Monette. And it was so cold. I mean, we delayed our morning time training till the afternoon. I remember wearing, I can't believe I brought a coat. I guess I just must have known it was looking like it was going to be cold.
It would be those early days. Those early evenings would sometimes be a little
But I remember that year, literally, I had like my Berber coat, kind of just, you know, a nice jacket I would have never taken to camp. I remember being outside in the middle of the day painting like the wagon wheels and stuff, like doing the chores. And at night we were all in Pawnee and it was freezing. It was really cold. So then we had to get in the pool and
it was a freak cold front. And I was not prepared. I will say that. And John actually Boogie gave me a fleece jacket that I still have to this day.
Did you steal it? Awesome. Hey, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, speaking of Boogie, we have a message. Did you read
that?
Yes,
that's where I was going next with this.
Go right ahead.
We got a piece of fan mail.
Yeah, we did get a piece of fan mail, actually.
And it was very ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very, this is not Southern approved. Mm-mm. I'm just going to say, and I'll be honest with you. I remember discussing this. Talking about Wrangler's disease, but I don't know what we said because we did give the legit, we said it was a legit thing.
I think he seems very, we're going to read it in a minute. Joan can read it to y'all in a minute, but he seems very upset and he definitely wants credit for doing the term, which he probably did. Let's just be honest. I got no argument there, but
I said that.
I think you might have too. Do we need to play back the tape? Do I need to go and get
the clip? You may need to go find the clip.
But anyway, go ahead.
Let me read you all the fan mail.
It's more of a letter to the editor is how I'm feeling like this is.
It's awful. Dear detasseled cornstalk, which let's just be honest, sounds a little vulgar.
I don't like it.
My name is John, and I'm the person who coined the term Wrangler's disease, which you joked about on a recent podcast. Wrangler disease is a serious condition where 2/3 of the way through the summer, you feel aches and pains and then can't lift your leg above the top rail of the riding ring fence. That's also called being 50. After which your entire body stops working and you're confined to your bunk and can't even get up to go to the dining hall for any food. So people have to bring food to you and you feel like you're actually dying. Okay.
And let's explain.
Who brings food to you? That means you're the golden child.
It's because the golden child did get his little food delivered to him in the air-conditioned infirmary. Not saying it's not a real thing. It was. People get, I had it once. It was probably like, not to that level, but like, your body does all of a sudden, it just does what it does. But this is so hilarious because he's like, you can't even get up and people have to bring you food with Barbara, the nurse, and he's in the only air-conditioned building besides the office in the entire camp.
Yes, with Barbara, who was the sweetest, kindest person ever. Okay, so actually dying, even though Barbara, the nurse, says quit whining because you're just exhausted and your body needs to rest, and then you'll be fine, despite the fact that you feel like death and that the condition will go on and on and on indefinitely, much like this sentence has, I was about to say. I am shocked at your insensitivity, and I call upon you before God and these witnesses to retract your comments. I should know how debilitating this condition is, not only because I have suffered from it myself, but also because I am a doctor. Warmest regards, Dr. Brilliant. You are not that kind of doctor. You are not.
He's a doctor. Wait.
I have to explain medical procedures to him all the time.
It's true.
all the time. So
oh my gosh,
I made Holly test something earlier because I want to try something.
Oh no.
We are going to call Dr. Brilliant on the phone.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
And see what he has to say. Now, here's the truth of this, though. It's going to go straight to voicemail. And
so then you're just going to leave him a nasty message, I assume. You guys, this is going off the rails. Mm-hmm.
So
I wasn't ready.
So here we go. Let me turn my Bluetooth on. And
okay.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Boogie.
Let's see if Dr. Brilliant is available to chat with us. Oh my gosh. It was not a nice letter, but we didn't joke about it.
No, we didn't joke about it.
We didn't joke about Wrangler. I thought we took it very seriously.
Hi, this is John. Leave a message.
Hello, Dr. Brilliant. This is Joni and Holly, and we are calling you from Designer Cornbread. We have received your very ugly note and want to take issue with a few things because we do not feel like that we discounted Wrangler's disease as a
serious medical condition.
Right. Yeah.
We took it very seriously. We discussed that it was debilitating, and we feel that your editorial letter to the editor was a little bit harsh.
I even said, I mean, it was after school, and I said, I feel like I have Wrangler's disease. I believe that is giving some legitimacy to the disease. Mm-hmm. And I also believe that I gave you, almighty Boogie Dr. Dean Brilliant, credit for coining that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
I may be mistaken. Yeah. It was in my head, but it may not have come out of my mouth. But you did. You were the inventor of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that your letter was a bit over the top and unfounded, quite frankly.
Yes, I think we did not quite deserve that level of criticism, but we appreciate your communicating. We'll talk to you soon. Love, Detasseled Cornstalk.
Oh, I'm not putting love in there.
Jeez, you guys, the summer, when things are going awry, I'm telling you, and it partly, I might have had a little touch of Wrangler's disease last night, only I didn't, thankfully, I didn't hurt. It wasn't like painful, but I fell asleep on the couch at like 6:37. I was watching that, which we can discuss the very happy news that you have about the College World Series, but I was watching it and I literally fell asleep, and I just don't ever like that. Rarely happens. And I could not stay awake for the first couple of innings. So, but it's because it's been so hot here. Like it's been triple digits the past 2 days, just yesterday and today, in a high 90s. So it's just very, very, very hot. And I've been doing errands, and that just, you know, it just drains you. Getting in and out of the car even just drains you. So, would you like to discuss the exciting College World Series.
Listen, Omaha, it's a big deal. And even I can guarantee you all your professional teams are glued to the College World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, it is their little phrase is the greatest show on dirt. And it is by all means the greatest show on dirt. So it came down to a round between Texas A&M and Tennessee,
which is what I wanted. I was like, let's get a final series with those two schools. Yep.
Yes. So, and in the end, and Tennessee lost the first game. Mm-hmm. They have not lost again. Had they won that first game, that would have been it, because Texas A&M had lost one.
No. What are you talking about?
See, I thought they played three, but Caleb
told
me. They did.
They played three. They played Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday,
right, right,
A&M
right. No. What I'm saying is I thought they were supposed to play three. You win too. But Caleb said, no, if you lose twice, you're out, period.
No, Caleb, that's incorrect.
I thought when it came down to the
Caleb, that's incorrect. Final the final was two out of three. So,
So we lost the first night, which was shocking for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then they came back and they won big, you know, on Sunday night. And then Monday's the last night was the playoff. I mean,
the third game. It got taken to the third game, which is so exciting.
Tennessee came out ahead. I mean, they got a home run there right in the first inning, came out ahead, and then they just kept adding.
Their bats are, you know, their home runs are what they're known for. They just hit those stinking home runs. Yep. And it was just a great, the whole series was really great.
We went into the eighth, I think. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It was like the bottom of the eighth, and
it was 6-3.
Yeah.
And then things started falling apart and you're holding your breath going, oh
yep,
my goodness. And it got within 6-5.
It was 6-5 with someone on base and at bat. Yeah. And I mean, it could have gone, that's the thing about this. It can go either way.
Yeah.
A team can rally and get forward. You just don't know. Yes. So it was so close. Yeah. It was like the last second. A&M kept getting, it was so bizarre because they got on base. They had hits. Yeah. They kept getting on base. They just couldn't complete. They just couldn't get batters in.
So. Well, you know, the second game, that was Tennessee. I mean, we had the bases loaded, even though we won. We had the bases loaded like 4 or 5 times.
And just got left.
Just left them there.
And that was, you know, A&M has very good pitching. That's kind of what they're known for right this year is their pitching. So, and Tennessee's pitching was excellent. The guy with the little handlebar mustache coming in last night. He's so cute. Love him with his little rolled up pants.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were going to talk about fashion somehow in there. And they also won, I think, because their uniforms were, you know, the Tennessee black is great. And then also their coach is cuter. Let's just be honest. Okay. Yeah. Carry on.
I do have another story for you if you're up for another story.
Of course.
So we went to the lake. Caleb and Ella had made a lake date.
Oh, fun.
And we were invited to tag along. So we did, and we had a great time. We just went out tubing and got on the, you know, the wave runner and tooled around and all of that. But I invited her mom and her dad and her brother down to the lake. They had something previously that they couldn't come play, but they came to dinner. And so, and then we took a little evening ride. And so it just was really,
oh, that's
really
nice. That is nice.
So, but she has a brother named Garrett. I know we have two Garretts and,
told the story about him the other day about the ice cream, which was hilarious.
Yes, yes, yes. So as I said, Garrett has autism and he just says, you know, whatever he thinks.
That's right.
But he is a big rule follower. And if you give him a rule, he is not going to break it.
Okay.
So we're sitting there and Pete, our friend Pete, who has the cabin at the lake, he's a very, you know, he's captain safety. And so Pete says, he's telling this story about this kid when he was in high school and just stupid stuff, you know, and Garrett looks up and says, don't say that.
Oh.
That's a bad word. You can't say that word. And he went, what? And I said, Pete, stupid is a bad word. And he went, Oh, I'm sorry. He said, you're right. You're right. I should have chosen a better word.
Oh, Pete's and so nice.
Says, Garrett said, you can't say the S word and you can't say the E word. And I went, E word.
Oh,
what is, and I'm, you know, racking my brain trying to figure out the E word.
Yeah.
And Shelly, his mom, looks at Garrett and said, Garrett, tell Miss Joni what the E word is. He's no. She said, just this one time you can say it. He's no. And she said, Garrett, I'm giving you permission. This one time you can tell Miss Joni what the E word is. And he looked at him. He goes, idiot.
Oh, stop it right now.
Idiot.
Oh, that I'm is saying my it that new way for forever.
Yes, yes, I am idiot. Saying it.
Oh, and E-word. I'm going to spell it like that and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, don't say idiot. The E word. Idiot. Oh, Tennessee. I got to love it, man. That's hilarious. That is the cutest thing ever.
Yeah. Idiot.
Well, I feel terrible because I just called my husband stupid and idiot and fool the other day, like 3 times. Oh, on the podcast.
Wow. Just well, now you can just say, I know you can just look at him and go, you're the E word.
You're an idiot. That's okay.
The E word.
Listen, people know I say it in love. If I love you, I'm going to call you an idiot. If I don't, yes. then if you don't get called an idiot by me, at least, you know, once in your life, then you don't really mean that much to me. So
that's what I tell my students. I say, look, I'm from the 80s. If I pick on you, it's a sign of affection.
It's how we show love. It's just what we do. You guys, it's what we do. So that is hilarious. Oh, I love it so much. I know something else I wanted you to maybe chat about a little bit, since we're all for the Broyles clan is descending on her house next week. She put out an invitation and may regret it. But anyway, Tim was looking up stuff. And as I recall, isn't the Bluegrass Festival coming up?
The Bluegrass Festival is coming up this week. Yes.
Yeah, and I thought maybe you could tell about that.
Well, that I need a little preparation.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean, it's not a big deal. We went. Was it 2 years ago or was it last year that we went when I'm always in town this time of year at your house. So I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was 2 years.
It was 2 years ago, but
I think it was 2 years ago.
I believe
look this up. So yeah, every year, 4th of July weekend, that whole weekend, there's mm-hmm. a Bluegrass Festival and they do it down at the, there's a Wayne Gerald's River Park is where it starts. And we do that because Wayne Gerald's is a famous fiddler from Savannah. I mean, he grew up here. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, our friend Paige that we talk about, he is actually related to them somehow, but I don't know, but he is known across the country for his fiddling. Mm. So we have a river park down there named after him and they bring the Bluegrass Festival there. And so I have pulled it up here. So Friday on July 5th, if you're in the area around Savannah, Tennessee, from 5 to 9 p.m., you have at 4:30, there's an open mic and you can get up and sing, Holly.
Oh, my word.
I'm putting you up there.
I'm
going to call Frida.
Don't you dare. Y'all, she gets me in all the trouble and I don't want to be in troubles.
And at 5 o'clock, you have the Mallards of Mayhem. The 5:30, the Holt family, they're really good. Mm. At 6 o'clock, Hilltop Bluegrass. 6:30, Blake Hopper and Tennessee Tradition. 7 o'clock, Scotty Bogus and Boone Creek. 7:30, Wayne Gerald's and Savannah Bluegrass. And at 8 o'clock, Dave Davis and the Warrior River Boys.
Oh, wow. Those all sound great. I love all those names. Those all sound fantastic.
So then Saturday, it is it's a whole big thing. And so it's down at the farmer's market, and which is just right, you know, down the street from my house. And at 11 o'clock, you have Becky Rowland and Double Stops. 11:30, Jeff Long and the Old String Band. 12 o'clock, Rudy Moore and Bluegrass Pals. Oh, listen to this. 12:30, you have, I got choked up. Joe Garrett and the Hatchie Bottom Boys.
Oh, like that
and,
one.
I know. At 1 o'clock is Crosswinds. 1:30, Good Time Grass. 2 o'clock. Oh. I know.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That one got me.
we might have to go to lunch during that one.
Have to go to Good Time Grass because that means a lot of things.
Okay. 2 o'clock, you have Courthouse Pickers. 2:30, Scotty Bogus and Boone Creek again. 3 o'clock, 7 Mile Creek with Maris Richardson. 3:30, the Lisa Lambert Band. 4 o'clock, Rhonda Vincent and the Rage. 4:30, Wayne Gerald's and Savannah Bluegrass. 5 o'clock, dance contest.
Oh, that's for you. If I do the singing, you're in the dance contest.
In the street dance.
She's going to the street dance.
5:30, the Bank Chefs. 6:30, Gary Nichols and Billy Doze with Kentucky Blue. And then at 7:30, you have Rhonda Vincent and The Rage at 7:30.
Rage again. The Rage. I kind of like that, too. There's so many. So it just goes all day. So you just pop up there and there's, I'm sure if I remember there, because we went to the river and then we went real quickly to the.
Our friends, the Colliers, have a lovely fireworks show down. They live right down on the river and do that. So. Yeah,
but it's a good time. There's a lot of names and a lot of groups there. So it sounds like this is kind of a big deal. So it'd be really fun if you're, I'm sure we'll pop over sometime. So watch a little fiddling. Yeah.
So we need a golf cart. is what we need, Holly.
We do. Oh, yeah. Well, you need to borrow a golf cart from somebody. Who has a golf cart in Savannah we can borrow? I told the kids, because when it sounds like Thatcher's coming down from New York. I mean, it's a whole hootenanny. We're gathering in the holler down there. But, and I said to him, I was teasing, and I'm like, hey, y'all need to, we expect y'all to do a 4th of July bike parade to get your bikes decorated.
Oh, yes.
And they were like, what? I'm like, no, y'all need to get your bikes decorated, get your hats on, get your little 4th of July beads. And we used to always do little parades. And,
you know, this is a good thing, because one of the things I wanted to talk about, Holly, were things to do with your kids in the summers.
Mm. Oh, you good.
Know, little crafty things. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we did when our kids were little, we lived down at that time down by the river, and we had a 4th of July parade, and we decorated all of the bikes. Caleb had one of those little motorized little motorcycles. This was mm-hmm. one of my favorite memories. He had that little moto. He called it his mm-hmm. moto. Mm-hmm. And we decided one year to go a little farther, and we went to downtown. We took the mm-hmm. whole parade to downtown mm-hmm. and a group of motorcycles came down Main Street. And as they passed Caleb, they were all doing that, you know, that one finger down wave. It was the cutest thing.
He got some street cred. He's like, all right.
Yes.
All right.
We even had an older people would remember they had the little tricycles, the adult tricycles mm-hmm. dressed up. And some point
wagons,
we had
some kids were in wagons or stroller, you know, everything just kind of decorated. And
we even at one year had a steamboat float. Do you remember that? Were you here for that one? We had
a little I don't remember that particularly.
And anyway, and then we'd all come back to my mother's front yard, and I'd made like a brunch for everybody. And then after that, we crashed because we got up in the wee hours of the morning.
It's a lot with your kids, but it's so fun. We actually did something similar growing up on the street where I grew up here in St. Louis. And there was a 4th of July parade just in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood was really great. Like I told you about all the Halloween stuff, but we did a 4th of July thing and a picnic. And a big picnic, like in the little park at the end. And like, they'd rent like little picnic tables and trash can. Like it was someone, I guess, organized it. But anyway, and we would do same thing, a bike parade or wagons, or, you know, we didn't really have strollers and stuff back then, but you'd put the what's that called? Crate paper around your wheels bike. And then we would do when I was little, pretty little when it's, you know, first started. And one year, we took our wagon, just the old red wagon, and my parents and my sister, whatever, that made a little covered wagon, like like the hoops and the sheet. I think it was like pink. And it was like a covered wagon. And we put our pretend little hobby horses in the front. And I got to ride with my little bonnet, my little prairie bonnet. And my sister pulled me around, which is, you know, bonus of being the youngest. And she pulled the wagon, and I got to ride in the little covered wagon in the little 4th of July parade. And then they also did, someone would get an old fire truck rent, or I have no idea how it happened, but there'd be an old time fire truck that you could get up in, and all the kids would ride around the neighborhood in the old fire truck. So, I mean, like it was that and y'all's parade. Like, I don't know if people do that stuff anymore. I mean, I guess I'm sure some places do, but
it was fun.
It was a good time. So, I don't know what that made me think of. I was going to go on. Oh, I know. Let's see. Do we have time? I don't even know what time we started. I think we started at like 9:50. We started a little early. I wanted to share really quickly about, and I assume you know about this, but I'm not sure, a new podcast that I'm the podcast queen, but I wasn't aware until I saw Sue Head posted on Facebook about our good friends Sue and Hayden Head, who were, again, the son and daughter-in-law of Hino and Jane Head, the youngest son at our camp.
Yeah,
our camp directors. Anyway, and he was at camp for forever. They both were. Anyway, they live in Branson and are affiliated with all kinds of good stuff down there. But he has a podcast with another guy whose name is Curtis Copeland and Hayden Head, and it's called Ozarkian Folk Chronicles. And Joni, it's like right up our alley.
Yes. Oh, I've been listening to it.
I just started this last week because it, I just didn't really know about it. And then I saw it. So I just started listening as well. And you guys, it's like, you know, we talk about on here all the time about, I don't know, just the camp and then the legends and things and Ozark and life and just kind of like those and mixing in with the Appalachia a little bit and just, you know, all those kinds of cultures and times. And we love stories and we love spooky, you know, stories and tales. So this is like right up our alley. And I just wanted to read a few of the titles. I've only listened to a few, but, you know, so they just talk about all kinds of different, legends and stories and traditions. It all kind of gets melded in and they're very knowledgeable. Like they've done the research, like they've read a lot of the old time, the books and the, a lot of magazines that used to kind of come out.
They are historians and storytellers and they just do a fantastic job.
Yeah. They're right. So, they're reading on the thing, all kinds of different stories that people have written. So episode one is give the devil his due. And then the one I'm listening to now, which is, I mean, I've only listened to like three or four, but I love it. It's all about the granny woman and the legend of that it's not like it's all fake. I would actually love to have them on. To be real honest, I would love to do an interview if we're ever in Branson. But these are these women of the Ozarks who just kind of based, you know, the parody is the granny from the Beverly Hillbillies, who is this granny woman who, you know, they cook all the old timey things and they do the medicines and they have all the superstition, you know, they kind of run the whole place. And so these are real women that were doing this so that they're kind of talking about that. The next one is the Ballad of the Bald Knobbers. So, you know, we've talked about that on here. Joni's told that story. So they're going to get into that. All kinds of legends, Arkansas, Ozarks, True Crime with Travis Holt, Hunting Lore, a traditional old time Ozark music experience, planting and garden superstitions in the Ozarks. This one sounds neat. Pastor Sam Conley, Tales of Inspiration and the Code of the Hills. So I guess they're going to get into like their, you know, what's that code of honor and different. Anyway, so An Attempt to Raise the Dead in Reed Springs. I mean, hello, you know, I'm going to listen to that one. Anyway, I could go on and on. They have about 20 something episodes, 22 episodes, but they'll have people on. Anyway, I just want to give that a shout out because that's just such a great, you know, we love that stuff. We love Eureka. They talk about Eureka Springs. They talk about all that Northern Arkansas. So it's just very familiar to us and interesting to us. I really would, if we ever could, you know, if we're ever down there and we could work out, I know we could do it on the phone too, but
a co-podcast.
An interview. I would love to interview them and just have questions. And I would like, I haven't seen on here yet, but we need to talk about the Black Shuck. So I want to see what they have to say about that. Yeah. So get on it, Hayden. We need to know about the Black Shuck. So go take a listen again. It's called it's called Ozarkian Folk Chronicles. And I am really enjoying it. If you like that kind of thing.
They also, Emily Flatness is the new homestead picker at Silver Dollar City, and they have her doing the music for it.
I wondered if that was her doing that theme. So I kind of wondered. Yes. I was like, that sounds very much like.
I saw that. So when we were at Silver Dollar City, I walked up to her and I said, you know, I think we have a mutual friend. And she was like, really? Who? And I said, Hayden Head. And she was like, what? Yeah. You know Hayden? I was like, very well.
Yeah, so it's all the things we love. It's like it's tied in with Silver Dollar City and the Ozarks and Eureka Springs and just like the culture and storytelling and music. And, you know, anyway, it's just really cool. And I'm excited for them and hope that it continues on and on because there's a million stories to tell and all that kind of stuff. So go take a listen. Go subscribe and get caught up. I'm working my way through that for this. It's a great summer. Too. I'm like,
it is. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a nice thing to listen to. Because
my heart, and I know yours as well, when summer hits, I mean, our thoughts really go to camp. There are certain smells and there are You know, you can walk out. It's that wet wood early in or late in May. I don't know what it is, but
it's wet wood or railroad ties. If I smell a wet railroad tie, I'm like,
I mean, all of a sudden I get this, oh, I got to go pack. I got to go,
I know. It still happens, you guys. It's quite a thing. And we've talked about, you know, the whole family, the whole head family, you know, our storytelling, you know, we've talked about Hanno Jr. who lives in Savannah now with, near you. And he has always been a great storyteller and writer and performer of stories, but they all have, you know, I mean, Hayden is great at that gifted. As well. And his Hanno Sr., did it in a different way. His storytelling, well, even when just in conversation, every conversation, if he was sharing a memory or something, it was like a story. It sounded like a story, but you know, his main focus was always on, not always, but you know, God sharing the story of Christ and the story of the Bible, you know, and just all that really, but that same kind of gift is there. So anyway, there you go.
Anyway, yeah, they are very gifted. So Hanno Jr., I'm so excited. He is going to participate in our Vacation Bible School.
I saw you post about that.
And I cannot wait because I know he's going to blow their socks off. Yeah. And it's one thing for me to sit here and tell people, y'all, you need to get him plugged into the kids program. Mm-hmm. He's excellent. He's excellent. He's excellent. And it's another thing when they're going to see him. It's really gonna open their eyes.
It's gonna be
awesome.
It's gonna be a blessing to those kids and families and everybody. So that's gonna be and to him as well. It's always a blessing to you. You know, when you're the one that serves, you get blessed. So, that's gonna be outstanding. Oh my word! I feel like we've just talked about a million things, and it's all been so good. Checking things off. Oh, I wanted to tell you really quickly. This is not of any super importance other than. There was a bear and a cub spotted in being tracked in South Kirkwood the other night. So I felt really great about that.
Wow.
We've had a couple. They're starting to get, this is the second one in a year, you know, that we know of.
They've been here. They've tracked them over to Wayne County, which is right next to us. Mm-hmm. But that makes sense to me. I mean, we're Tennessee. They're in the mountains.
Yeah.
They come down to the hills. They follow the water. I mean, we're right here on the Tennessee River. That all makes sense to me, but in the middle of St. Louis.
Yeah. It's Missouri, you know, again, as you get into the, Southern Missouri, you know, used to have, but they really didn't, it's not been a thing for, they're coming back. The population is coming back and that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But they're definitely coming back. We would never, I mean, all growing, I never heard anything about. And we even at camp and stuff, we didn't worry about bears. We worried about coyotes, but we never had to worry about bears. So I feel like it's kind of that thing, like, you know, I don't know. We have more wild hogs. We have armadillos all over Southern Missouri. We have the bears are coming, you know, which is not bad. But again, a bear and a cub walking through, you know, populated areas is not the best. So I haven't heard what happened. Like if they tracked them out, you know, what they kind of, what they did, but there was a bear. I think that's the only, and then the only other thing we already kind of talked about, but I really realized this week that Hudson moves in a week. I like looked at my calendar on Sunday and I thought it was 2 weeks. Like, you know how in your brain, when it gets final and you're like, oh, that's in 2 weeks. And then you kind of stick it 2 weeks for a while. Like in your brain, it's 2 weeks, even though a week goes by and you're like, 2 weeks. And then I looked at my calendar and I'm like,
1 week.
It's a week. Yep. So yeah. Yep. So anyway, it's great. We're doing good. We're in full blown packing mode. We're going to start packing this afternoon.
That's awesome. So I had something and it's gone.
I'm sorry.
I touched on it a second ago. What activities did you do with your children when they were small in the summer? Of course you homeschooled. But you know, summertime it's
a big time for parents to connect with the kid.
And I think people are finally catching on that screens are a bad idea.
I should hope Lord help us.
I hope.
I mean, guys, we got to quit this. We did a lot of different things. You know, St. Louis is a great place to have kids and have families. And again, because we. I'm trying to think of anything specific summer, because we did homeschool. We did get a little more opportunity to, like, we would go to the zoo when it wasn't, you know,
when it wasn't
packed out and hot, we would
go. But I mean, like at home, not necessarily going anywhere, but just like, did you have them like paint rocks?
We would do all kinds of different things every year, just depending on whatever kind of caught my fancy that year. We would set up little areas outside for them to play with, you know, little sand and little sticks. One year it was something so simple. There was a stump of a tree that had come down, like a piece of a log that was sitting there. And it had, like, I don't know how to describe it other than there was the stump part. And then there was kind of a part you could almost sit on, like a big branch was coming out of it. And they would sit out there, and I gave them a box of nails and a hammer, and they would just nail into that tree trunk. They would just, would just love to get out there and pound those nails in. Lots of neighborhood stuff, you know, lots of like tons of hose and sprinkler. And just, you know, trying to get the, between myself and our next door neighbor, you know, the Freezy Pops, they were better about that than I was, but, you know, just available as the kids ran between houses. We would see, I think there was.
Did you ever make those little, you know, men out of acorns? Have you seen them? Like, you can make little figures out of acorns and.
Yeah, we did not do that specifically, but we would make like little, at least with Avery, we would make little, sometimes like little, things in the yard, like little, I don't know what, you know, to call them, little fairy house, kind of like little situations in the yard and stuff like that. Leaf art. Yeah. I'm trying to think what else.
Sidewalk just chalk and
sidewalk
bubbles
chalk.
And, you know, just
drawn on the driveway. Trying to think of anything we would like cook or do or make, but a lot of outside, a lot of lightsabers happening, running around.
And they need y'all, they need that sunshine. They need that air.
Yep.
They need the activity. And I am begging you as a mother, as a teacher, please pull those kids from in front of the screens.
Absolutely. And you have to do it, because they won't do it. I'm bad about it. I'm putting myself. I'm realizing I'm spending way too much time on it.
Yeah.
Way too much. Like, and I just literally snuck up on me. I'm like, whoa, hang on a second. So it's not just kid, you know, but if we have struggled with it as adults, then our kids really do struggle. And I mean, I heard again, I know y'all get tired, but listen, we got to hear it over and over again, because we didn't have it to deal with. So it wasn't a temptation, because we didn't have it. So I don't mean to ever sound like we're better than you, because when our kids were little, we, you know, had them do it. We didn't have it.
Yeah.
So we can't just sit here and we don't come from a place of look how great we did. No, but we want to encourage, you know, again, over and over again, they're like, kids need to be bored.
Yeah.
They will not learn and develop the ability to play. The lack of ability to play and use their imagination and come up with a thing on their own, it's a whole skill set. It's a whole brain function that they need.
It makes me wonder how many artists will never come to be, and how many musicians will never come to be.
Right.
How many athletes will never come to be. Because, you know, when you were bored, you had to figure out something to do.
Oh, yeah.
You had to doodle. And that's where a lot of your art came from.
Yep.
You had to, or, you know, I'd go pick around on the piano.
Yep.
You'd go out and shoot hoops.
You really had to come up with something. And now, and again, I'm speaking to myself. I promise you, I want to read. I'm like, I have these books. I want to read more. Summer read. Well, then you have to get off the phone.
Yeah.
I have to put down the Instagram. And I say to my husband, you know, or to myself, because really I feel, and I hope people please pray for me and hold me accountable. Because I'm very, very serious. God and I have had some talks this week, and the way I look, and I love, listen, I'm not saying it's bad. I get very inspired by a lot of things I see. I'm not, except Facebook depresses me. I'll be honest. Yeah. Facebook drives me up the wall, but it's just different. I don't know how to describe it, but anyway, I get very inspired. Like, I love seeing people's, what they're doing and the energy and the, what they're, you know, it inspires me in my life. But here's the thing. I'm tired of looking at other people's lives.
Yeah.
When I have a life of my own to live.
Right.
And it's taking away from live, you know, and it's, again, I don't know the balance, you guys. I don't know, but I'm sitting there. We, you know, spend hours and time watching people redo their house and work on their boat and sail across the thing. I'm like, why am I, why are you, you know, I'm getting my husband, but I get on myself. You're watching them live their life.
Yeah.
But you have a life. We have a life. What's our, what is our life going to look like? Is it going to look like just sitting around living vicariously through other people? Or are we going to have life? And that's what
somebody said to me too the other day. They said, remember back in the 80s when we'd cook dinner and we'd take pictures of it and we'd run and get that film developed and then run to our neighbor's house and show them our pictures of our dinner? I mean, and all of a sudden that made me go, yeah, this is stupid. Oh, sorry, I said the S word.
Oh, you're an idiot.
I mean, E, you're the E word. You can't say idiot.
Oh, sorry.
You can't say the E word.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when you put it back in those terms.
I am.
Would you run to your neighbor's house and show, look, here's what we have for dinner tonight. I mean, that's creepy and weird.
And it's not, again, I know things are, you're right. But it's like, I know things are different and I don't want to be a total like, on it, because I think a lot of, like I said, what people are doing, it's inspiring. And it's, I can't tell you how many recipes I've gotten and ideas for that. But then the key is also like, make them, don't collect a bunch of recipes. You know, I mean, this is me, this is Holly talking to Holly. Y'all can do whatever you want, but I get convicted by that. Cause I'm like, how many Pinterest pins are you going to pin and how many recipes are you going to save from Instagram? You know, and it's wonderful, but if we're just collecting pieces of other people's lives and little whatevers, and we're not incorporating it into our own life and growth and families, then what is the point of it?
Yeah. That's right.
So that's me. That's my sermon to myself today. Let's live life, you guys, this summer, all the time, not just in the summer. But, and we say that for your kids, but we say it for ourselves. Let's live life. Yeah. Let's stop living vicariously through other people's lives that then they're sharing on the thing. Again, I'm not throwing shade on it. I'm not saying what they're doing is bad.
And we all have different abilities and we all have different, you know, financial statuses that we can, but the point is live your life.
Yes. Do the things, and this may sound really, really silly, but before, and then we got to get going because I got to get Hudson up and make sure he gets to his dentist appointment, but let's, I can't remember where I was going with it, but like, let's, what I was thinking about the other day was how did I put it in my mind? I almost went like, you know how everything is kind of romantic. I'll use the word, you know, it's everything is romanticized on Instagram and it's lovely. Like, again, it's lovely. These people that are posting, of course, now I get all kinds of New York content because of Hudson or Thatcher being there. And so, you know, I've looked up stuff and seen stuff and I love it. I do love it because I feel like I get to see New York and learn about it and think about that he's there. And, you know, but anyway, everything is so romanticized, you know, every coffee shop the person's at, every whatever and all that. And I thought about it the other day. I'm like, and I don't mean this in a superficial way, but like, how can I romanticize my life? Like I'm doing things and I don't mean like to necessarily to post about it, but like, why don't I look at my life like what I look at other people's posts and life and kind of get that enjoyment out of whatever it is, the lovely spot in my home that I have my little paint by numbers easel and my plant. And it's wonderful. I look at that and I go, that is romanticizing my life.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it. Yeah. And I'm trying to work on that. I'm trying to work on it. It's a big project.
Since you talked about recipes, let's move on to my recipe.
Let's do. Give it to us.
We're going to do asparagus roll-ups. Now, this is an appetizer or a little finger food. And you can use fresh asparagus. That's my recipe is fresh asparagus. And you're going to put some olive oil and salt and pepper on it and just stick it in the oven and soften it, cook it a little bit. Truth is, you could cheat and use canned asparagus if you want to. I've had it both ways.
Oh, okay.
And it's both good. I'm not a fan of canned asparagus, but it still was very good. So then you need an 8-ounce cream cheese and you need 4 ounces of blue cheese. You're going to mix that up until it's creamy and then get about 16 slices of bread. Okay. We're going to roll that out flat, cut the crust off, roll it out. I mean, like paper thin flat.
Oh, okay.
And then spread your cheese mixture on top of that. Mm-hmm. Stick one or two asparagus spears in it, whatever floats your boat on that. Roll it up and seal it. And then you're going to take melted butter and spread over it. Ooh. And some Parmesan cheese, shredded Parmesan. Okay. And sprinkle over that and put that booger in the oven.
Put that booger
in the oven.
Okay, all righty then. That sounds great.
It's delicious.
I don't think I've ever had those either. And that does sound really good.
And you can freeze them probably up. I wouldn't freeze them longer than a month, but you can make them ahead of time.
A month. Wow.
A month. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good long time. So you can definitely make it like the week before something if you need.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. My goodness, that's a really, really good one. Okay, are you ready for my top three?
Top three.
I am ready for your top three.
Okay, top three. First thing is just a general thing. I sent you these pictures the other day. Y'all, Walmart has some cute little short dresses right now. So I don't know where you live. I don't know what's going on. And I know I'm not a big short dress person, but I actually did find a couple that were long enough for me. It has to hit me below my knee. This little black one, it's got like little, but they have a ton of cute short, like what I'll call Joni style dresses, like light denim and rough, you know, the tiered little dresses, t-shirt. They just have a lot right now. So if you need some dresses for 11 something, 15 something dollars, I know I told Joni the other day, I'm like, I know you hate Walmart too. And I'm sorry, but, they have cute dresses right now. So head on over there and get you a little dress if you need something. Second thing is a product that it's called Cinema Secrets Professional Grade Makeup Brush Cleaner. And I'll link to it. And I just got the spray bottle. I didn't get the big, huge. It's a makeup brush cleaner that is, I don't know how to, it's dry. Like, you know, I wash my makeup brushes and you wash them and then you dry them and all that stuff, but that takes time. But sometimes when you're just in a hurry or, you know, a little eyeshadow, you even want to just switch colors in an eyeshadow or something just looks dingy and you just want it clean, but you just also want to use it. You spray it on there, you wipe it on a tissue, it comes clean. Like it works super fast and then it's still dry. The brush is dry. So I don't know what kind of, mysterious whatever's in that, but I've really, you know, it's just handy for times when I just need a quick clean or a switch of color kind of a situation. So get you some cleaner. And then the last thing is really, it's just very unglamorous, but it is saving my life right now are those Velcro, cord tags for your cords, you know, that you can label your cords, you guys. Those are the best invention of the 2020s. I don't even know. They are the number one. They are the best because I cannot, and I don't know what the rest of my family does, but the amount of cords, as you all know, that we have, little black cords with all the different ends to everything is a cord now. Even stuff that normally used to just be like a plug-in. It's like anyway, so I got these little tags. You can get them in different colors, or I've just gotten the white, but you can write on them and they just Velcro onto your little cord. And I have my little bag. So my Kindle, my lighter, my little watch thing, whatever, my fan, you know, all the little tiny cords you have that you cannot remember what they're to and what they, anything. I got my little tag on it. And so I don't lose my mind.
Because you're that old and you need a
plug. I'm telling you, I can't keep track of all these cords, battery pack cords, this cord. Yeah. I'm like, you guys, iMask cord for the earphones of the thing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of cords, but if you just label them, take the time, write it, stick it on there, your life will be forever changed and you can thank me. So that's all I got. You can see where my head is right now. Give me a cute, comfy dress and a cord tag. Oh. All right. Life I do. Good. I'm going to go make sure that everyone's rolling around here. And you guys, we will hope you have a great 4th of July. Like I said, we're going to take the week off next week. So as Joni said, go do something. Go live your life, man. Go
go outside and play. Grass.
Go outside and play and get some water guns and squirt people. That's what my kids did a lot was water guns. I'll be
water
honest.
Water guns. We really love water guns. All right.
All right. That's it. We will talk soon. Goodbye, cornbread.
See you, corn dip.
They changed it. Okay. Now talk, okay. Caleb.
Hello.
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 What's going on?
Trying to clean.
He's stripping, Holly.
Stripping furniture? Stripping.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't wanna know.
He is. He's stripping his bed.
Okay. Oh, nice.
And we gotta restain it and all that.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Project week. Yeah, it's getting time. All right. He can go away. We can talk to him later. But
thank
that
you,
worked.
Caleb.
Yeah.
All right, great. All right.